Continuing our reading of Numbers, and we're at Numbers chapter 16. Again, if you would like to stand as long as you can during it, it's another long passage, but feel free to stand or sit or be seated during it, whatever helps you at this point. Numbers chapter 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took action, and they rose up before Moses, together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in the assembly, men of renown. And they assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" When Moses heard this, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will bring him near to himself, even the one whom he will choose, he will bring near to himself. Do this, take censers for yourselves, Korah and all your company, and put fire in them, and lay incense upon them in the presence of the Lord tomorrow. And the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the one who is holy. You have gone far enough, you sons of Levi." Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them, and that he has brought you near Korah and all your brothers, sons of Levi, with you? And are you seeking for the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. But as for Aaron, who is he that you grumble against him?" Then Moses sent a summons to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. But they said, "We will not come up. Is it not enough that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to have us die in the wilderness? But you would also lord it over us. Indeed, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor have you given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Would you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." Then Moses became very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not regard their offering. I have not taken a single donkey from them, nor have I done harm to any of them." And Moses said to Korah, "You and all your company be present before the Lord tomorrow, both you and they along with Aaron. And each of you take his fire pan and put incense on it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord, 250 fire pans. Also you and Aaron shall each bring his fire pan." So they each took his own censer and put fire on it and laid incense on it, and they stood at the doorway of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. Thus Korah assembled all the congregation against them at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly." But they fell on their faces and said, "O God, thou God of the spirits of all flesh, when one man sins, wilt thou be angry with the entire congregation?" Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the congregation, saying, 'Get back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram.'" Then Moses arose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and with the elders of Israel following him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart now from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing that belongs to them, lest you be swept away in all their sin." So they got back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the doorway of their tents, along with their wives and their sons and their little ones. And Moses said, "By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these deeds, for this is not my doing. If these men die the death of all men, or if they suffer the fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about an entirely new thing, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that is theirs, and they descend alive into Sheol, then you will understand that these men have spurned the Lord. Then it came about, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive to Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all Israel who were around them fled at their outcry, for they said, "The earth may swallow us up." Fire also came forth from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Say to Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, that he shall take up the censers out of the midst of the blaze, for they are holy, and you scatter the burning coals abroad. As for the censers of these men who have sinned at the cost of their lives, let them be made into hammered sheets for a plating of the altar, since they did present them before the Lord, and they are holy, and they shall be for a sign to the sons of Israel." So Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers which the men who were burned had offered, and they hammered them out as a plating for the altar, as a reminder to the sons of Israel, that no layman who was not of the descendants of Aaron should come near to burn incense before the Lord, that he might not become like Korah and his company, just as the Lord had spoken to him through Moses. But on the next day, all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You are the ones who have caused the death of the Lord's people." It came about, however, when the congregation had assembled against Moses and Aaron, that they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly." Then they fell on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, "Take your censer and put in it fire from the altar and lay incense on it. Then bring it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone forth from the Lord. The plague has begun." Then Aaron took it as Moses had spoken and ran into the midst of the assembly. For behold, the plague had begun among the people. So he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he took his stand between the dead and the living, so that the plague was checked. But those who died by the plague were 14,700, besides those who died on account of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the doorway of the tent of meeting, for the plague had been checked. Thus reads God's word. Amen. Number 16, 8 through 10. Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? And that he has brought you near Korah and all your brothers, sons of Levi, with you? And are you seeking for the priesthood also?" We come this morning to a manner in which many people get themselves caught up in that which is not their place before the Lord and before his people. The truth is that the Lord does have allotted assignments within the body. This is very biblical, as the Apostle Paul details, and as we have read often in the various letters to the New Testament churches. Not all are called to minister, or to teach, or for a number of other facets of the corporate body. There are things that every Christian is called to do, such as serve the Lord and fellow man with hearts that fully honor both. Every true Christian is to read the Word, study the Word, pray constantly, trust in the Lord, encourage and help one another, always please the Lord in word and thought and deed, worship and obey the Lord with all your heart and soul. At the same time, as we have seen throughout our reading of Leviticus and Numbers, the Lord had specific jobs for very specific people and tribes. He even arranged each tribe and set places throughout the camp and had them march according to a particular hierarchy. The Lord specifically took the Levites unto Himself for the service of the tent of meeting and later the temple, as we read in Numbers 3, 5 through 13. If you would please turn to it once more. Numbers chapter 3, verses 5 through 13. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Bring the tribe of Levi near and set them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him. And they shall perform the duties for him and for the whole congregation before the tent of meeting to do the service of the tabernacle. They shall also keep all the furnishings of the tent of meeting, along with the duties of the sons of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. You shall thus give the Levites to Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given to him from among the sons of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons that they may keep their priesthood. But the layman who comes near shall be put to death." Again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now behold, I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel instead of every firstborn, the first issue of the womb among the sons of Israel. So the Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, from man to beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord." Sadly, it was from this tribe of Levi that this current rebellion arose. As we hear Moses in his rebuke of Korah and those who had joined themselves to this uprising in this morning's passage, Moses was pointing out the fact that they were already favored by God in their service. However, these Levites were seeking something more than was allotted to them. Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to Himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? And that He has brought you near, Korah, and all your brothers, sons of Levi, with you? And are you seeking for the priesthood also?" This group of Levites was not satisfied with the position of service that they had. They wanted to receive greater acclaim within the nation of Israel. They set aside the place that God had given them and tried to force themselves into that which was not their service unto God. They presumed to know better than the Lord what they could and should do. As we read in Proverbs 13:10, that attitude, as was so indicated by the Lord's judgment upon Korah and those aligned with him, only leads to trouble. Proverbs 13:10, "Through presumption comes nothing but strife, but with those who receive counsel is wisdom." Korah and his band of co-conspirators decided that they could do as well or better than Aaron and Moses as priests and leaders before the people. It did not matter to them that God had chosen these two men for His precise plan and purpose. They felt that they were just as capable and just as holy and just as gifted to offer the sacrifices and the leadership required to enter into the promised land. Maybe they even thought that God would change His mind and let the people enter, despite the nation's apostasy and the death sentence that hung over all of those 20 years of age and older. Whatever they thought, their presumption led to their violent demise as the earth opened up and swallowed them. For those 250 Levites who tried to offer the Lord their fire pans filled with incense, they were burned up in the presence of His holy fire. This indicated that only the priestly order chosen by God could bring the sacrifices that honored and pleased and were acceptable before Him. The presumptuousness of these men led to their immediate demise before the sovereignty of the most holy and just Lord God. This episode, however, did not set aside the attitude which has been the plague of humanity's old nature from the very beginning. It served to highlight its awful insinuation within the people of God. As recorded in Luke 22, verses 24 through 26, our Lord Jesus Himself had to deal with it, even among His chosen disciples. Luke 22:24 through 26. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be greatest. And He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. But let him who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the servant." These disciples could not be satisfied with the reality that they were among the specific and very select group of men to be taught firsthand by the only begotten Son of the Father. They had to strive to gain some greater place of honor even within that small cadre of men. The Lord had to lay out the truth that to be the greatest meant to set aside this vicious attitude of selfhood and to be the servant of all. God's estimation is not the superiority of any man over another. It is set in the full heart that is willing to serve selflessly among any who are in need of help and care and encouragement and uplifting. The Apostle Paul as well had to deal with this self-seeking attitude of contention for more than what the Lord appropriated throughout His letters to the churches. He sets before us the full measure of the truth that God does choose certain members of the body for specific tasks as He so deems fit and necessary. Accordingly, we must never presume to take upon ourselves that which is not our calling before the church, and most especially before the Lord. Consider again that which we can read together in Romans 12, 6 through 16, as the Apostle highlights the various gifts and the Lord's use of those gifts as He so bestows. Romans 12, 6 through 16. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Notice throughout this encouragement the prevalent attitude that puts others first. It is not a place to exalt ourselves over our brothers and sisters in Christ because of some false sense of superiority and favor from God. It is all centered in the laying down of our lives. It is the use of the gifts and the skills given by God in order to help, to teach, and to lift others up.
Yeah, she feels like she's going to faint.
Lord, even this moment, we lift up Peggy, and we just pray your covering on her. Lord, just bless her and keep her in your name.
Okay.
I don't know.
we just sit here for a little bit and Ted can finish, okay? How's that? We'll listen to him. Is that okay with you?
If you want to do this, what am I doing? You want to accept your son to leave?
Well, she took it very literally when I said it's all centered and weighing down our lives. It's the use of the gifts and the skills given by God in order to teach and to help and to lift others up. We are to absolutely set aside any aspect that others are to serve us or to elevate us because of some misguided sense of who we are. Rather, everything is in terms of how we can make their lives better than it is. We are to seek to offer whatever service we can to meet the needs of others. We endure everything that this world throws at us to be those people who can stand in the gap for the less fortunate. We endure the storms for the sake of those who are tossed to and fro. We are to persevere through the greatest pressures and onslaughts for the benefit of those who are oppressed and cowering in fear and in anxiety. We bear what they cannot, because that is the call of God's blessing in our lives. This is all through the power and the love of Jesus Christ in us for the sake of others. Again, let us read what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, in chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. Here the apostle highlights how each one of us is to honestly look at ourselves and to regard others. Philippians 2, 3 through 11. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here we have the greatest and the perfect example of what our lives are to be on this earth. The very Son of God, the most excellent and faultless one, came to earth to die a most undeserved and ignoble death for you and for me. He set aside his godhood in order to serve us. He is the one who alone deserves all the praise and adoration and honor as the creator of heaven and earth. And yet he chose not to lord it over us, as was his perfect right. Instead, he chose to die the death of the cross, the most severe and painful of deaths, so that you and I might have life everlasting. In the light of his example, we must never try to put ourselves above or before others, but rather be of service to the nth degree for their sake. The writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 5, 4 through 10 follows up with the same truth of the manner in which Christ was chosen as the ultimate high priest by God the Father. It was not a position which he took to himself, as was the plan of Korah and his followers. It was the place into which he was put by the Heavenly Father as the means of serving our needs for eternal redemption and sanctification. Hebrews 5, 4 through 10. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, "Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee," just as he says also in another passage, "Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. We conclude this morning with the writing of the Apostle John, as he also had to deal with this vile attitude of self-worth and superiority within the church in his third letter, verses 9 through 11. 3 John 9 through 11. "I wrote something to the church, but I offer these. Who loves to be first among them does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and he forbids those who desire to do so, and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God." This is the means by which we can measure the attitude that proceeds forth from our hearts and our minds unto others. If there is any desire to put others down, or feeling that we are diminished because others are elevated, we need to seek after the Lord to work His ever more searching and perfecting work in us. We must never allow jealousy and evil intentions to dominate our focal view of others and their relation to us. Rather, there should be the manifested desire to be of complete and unrestricted service for the benefit of others and for their uplifting, doing good to all as the Lord so guides and directs our walk on this earth. In that, we are to find full satisfaction and contentment in the service unto which God has called and placed us. So be it. Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? And that he has brought you near, Korah and all your brothers, sons of Levi, with you? And are you seeking for the priesthood also?" Amen.